Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Life is a long way from returning to normal for thousands of people affected by last week's terrifying gas explosions north of Boston. Many residents in Lawrence, Andover, and North Andover are still without gas, and schools in Lawrence remain closed today. Meanwhile, Governor Charlie Baker and the leaders of those three communities say a new foundation will be up and running by the end of the week to provide financial aid for people affected by those gas leaks, the fires which killed one man, forced thousands from their homes, and damaged 80 buildings. Baker says ultimately Columbia Gas will be on the hook for this catastrophe.
Columbia is going to be expected to and will anticipate that the infrastructure issues are going to be on them. But there are a whole bunch of very significant issues associated with how people actually get from here to there and the losses that they incur as a result of that need to be dealt with. That's what we believe this fund will be for.
Baker says the fund should be able to provide millions of dollars in aid. Meanwhile, Columbia Gas says it will replace 48 miles of gas pipeline in the three communities. WBUR's Callum Borchers has been covering all of this. He's with us now from Lawrence. Hi, Callum.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, tell us more about what the governor said, starting with this foundation, what it's going to look like and what it's going to do.
Well, think of it as a bridge. So it will be housed under the existing Essex Community Foundation so that there's sort of some infrastructure already in place. And the goal is to have it up and running for donations and, of course, for requests for help by the end of this week. But the whole idea is that there are a lot of folks displaced from their homes who hopefully will be reimbursed by Columbia Gas down the line. But in the meantime, they have bills to pay. They have rents to make. And the idea is to raise money to help bridge them until more money comes through from Columbia eventually.
I see. So Governor Baker has talked specifically, right, about specific examples here. Can you describe a little bit about what he said?
Yeah, to illustrate the point, he sort of used the example of a family daycare center that might be run out of somebody's house and how that might take a toll on a family's income and what they would do if they don't have gas for the foreseeable future.
Your ability to stay in business for the next, pick a number, is in significant jeopardy. My opinion, that's something that ultimately Columbia is going to end up paying for at the end of this process. But how is that person whose income and whose livelihood is a function of their ability to operate that center going to pay their bills and their rent and their mortgage and buy food for their family for the next however many weeks?
And just to be clear, the governor and other officials are encouraging folks to pursue kind of a two-track approach here. So they may want some aid from this foundation, but they should still seek claims from Columbia itself. So one does not replace the other.
I see. So the governor, as we heard at the top of this program, he made it pretty clear that Columbia, the gas company, is ultimately responsible for the cost of this catastrophe. Any idea how much this is going to end up costing?
You know, he didn't venture a guess, Anthony, but he did suggest that it could be high, perhaps even higher than folks might expect, because he pointed out that there are going to be a lot of homes where there were no fires or no explosions that nevertheless, because of overpressurization in the gas line, may have damage to things like water heaters in their house. Those appliances might still need to be replaced, and that will drive the cost way, way up.
Now, on a separate track, Columbia Gas is working to replace 48 miles of gas pipeline in these three communities. And this is all going to happen in just a matter of weeks. Is that correct?
That's the goal, and it's going to require a lot of help from a lot of different utilities. And, of course, at the end of last week, the governor declared a state of emergency, which allowed him to put another company, a rival utility, Eversource, in charge of this project. And that was sort of adding insult to injury as far as Columbia goes.
Right. Meanwhile, the National Transportation Safety Board is leading the investigation into what went wrong. So far, they've said the explosions were not caused by any intentional acts. But do we know anything more than that? at this point?
Well, they haven't said exactly what the cause is, and we may be waiting up to a year for the final report, although we'll get more details in the next couple of weeks. The NTSB did say over the weekend that one thing that could have played a factor was that some type of regulatory device, which would normally try to stop an overload of pressure like this, appeared to have been hooked up to a gas line that was being taken out of service. So if that's the case, it could have caused the meter to read artificially low. In other words, if it's out of service, it looks like everything is fine, when in fact the pressure was getting out of control.
I see. So, Callum, you've been talking to people up there in Lawrence today, filling out claims, looking for aid. How are they doing? What are you hearing? What do they need the most, for example?
Right. So I'm coming to you from the North Common Educational Complex, which has been turned into a claims center for Columbia Gas customers. Huge lines stringing out the door. And as I talk to folks, what they really need is sort of those bridge items we were talking about earlier that the fund, that the charity fund is going to try to cover. It's those daily expenses. You know, I was speaking with a woman named Migdi Garcia. She was here with her 2-year-old daughter in a stroller. She was able to get $50 gift cards for everybody in her household, but her home is still without gas. They've been in a hotel until yesterday when they finally got the power back. I asked her to estimate the cost of the whole ordeal so far.
To be honest, close to $600 since Thursday, because we left with nothing on our hands. Like, I have two kids. I have her and I have an 8-year-old. And with nothing on your hands, like, honestly, you have to go and get your, like, at least something to get you by.
Callum, so in her case, that was diapers, it was baby food, it was all those little things they didn't have time to snatch out of their house before evacuating.
Right. Yeah. Real issues for real families here. And when we spoke to you on Friday, Callum, we heard a lot of frustration from people who were unable to make contact with Columbia Gas. A lot of people were telephoning, and they were basically getting a recorded message that the company was closed. Has that improved, that effort to reach Columbia Gas?
I will say that the interactions I've observed today, Anthony, between Columbia Gas reps and the public have been far friendlier, far more cordial than what I saw on Friday. However, some of the frustration still persists. You know, I caught up today with Jamie Sloan McCarthy. She owns the Danny Kay Women's Boutique on Main Street in North Andover. She was one of the folks I ran into at a Q&A session with a Columbia Gas rep on Main Street on Friday. She was promised to call back with more information, but when I reached her today in a cab in New York, where she's traveled for business, she said the call never came.
We've been in touch with some of the other merchants that are on Main Street in North Andover. I know that they have since restored power and gas and everything to the area, but we did not hear from Columbia Gas. So anything we heard was from, you know, the town.
And just to be clear, she's got the gas back at her business, but that business is among the 4,500 or so homes and businesses that were taken out of service as a precaution. That does not include the 8,600 or so homes and businesses that are without gas still because they were attached to the line that exploded.
Boy, Callum, I mean, I'm really struck by this catastrophe. I mean, the possibility of immediate danger seems to have passed, but we're talking about weeks to rebuild miles and miles of pipeline. We're talking about all of these big issues that families are facing. I mean, this is going to be quite some time before lives return to normal up there, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be a long time, and I think a lot of it has to do with things like school being closed today in Lawrence, as you mentioned at the top, Anthony. You know, every time people are without childcare like that they expect on it, makes it harder to go to work, which makes it harder to earn what they need to pay those bills.
Well, Callum Borscher, stand by. We've got the mayor of Lawrence, Dan Rivera, with us now. He joins us from Lawrence. Mayor Rivera, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We're very grateful.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's the latest update that you can give us, first of all? Is everyone in your community able to get back into their homes, or where do we stand?
Yes. I mean, where we're at is that we were able to get to a point where we could shut off all the gas mains in the impacted area. You know, we were able to get the lights turned on in the impacted area. And for us, that meant everybody south of the Merrimack River in South Lawrence. So everybody is back in their home. 99% of those people have light. And now we're doing the work of figuring out which areas were impacted directly by the gas disaster and which was not, because if they were not, that group of people can get their gas turned on.
I see. And let me ask you about schools. I understand that schools in Lawrence were closed today. Do you know when they'll be able to reopen?
They were closed today. Again, we had to go because the lights are on, but the gas isn't. We can't really run a school without gas. They're going through every building to make sure that the building was not affected in the gas disaster. And so we're going through that process now. The superintendent of the school, who's new, she's a great woman. We got her from Newton, Mass. She's going through this process of ensuring that when we can let kids back into the schools, they'll be safe.
Right. Mayor, I'd love to get your response to what the governor talked about today, essentially setting up a fund. I understand your city is involved with this to help people, essentially tide them over through this difficult phase. Are you satisfied that this fund will provide the kind of help and support to members of your community who need the help?
I think so. You know, I think the way I see this is the gas company, through their effort, have a set of responsibilities to make people whole. And I think that those bureaucracies are created in an environment that doesn't look like a gas disaster that we find ourselves in. And so there's going to be some gaps, not because Columbia Gas wants to shrink from their responsibility, but because usually their claim services and trying to process 2,000 claims in 3 days. So we expect that this fund, with the support of corporate sponsorship and private sponsorship, is going to get us to meet the gaps in the bureaucracy that are real, really, really heavy human gaps.
Right, right. And what about the cost of replacing these pipelines? Columbia is going to pay to replace the pipelines, but do you need to figure out a way to make sure that they don't pass that cost onto customers?
Well, I think that the infrastructure for that is, at least in Massachusetts, is the DPU. The commissioners are going to have their hands full with that. They were already doing work, and I say Columbia Gas was already doing work to meet expectations around that with the Department of Public Utilities. And so my expectation is not the case, but again, it's really easy to set up oil. And so I feel like if they do that, they're going to lose customers. So I don't think that that's going to be an issue.
All right. Interesting. Mayor, how long do you think this whole process, when all is said and done, before life is returned to normal, more or less, in Andover, North Andover, and in your city of Lawrence?
Yeah, and I get that. I think that's an important point. You know, people have been focusing on our community. When school's out in Lawrence, teachers that live in Andover don't go to work. And you know, when businesses in Lawrence are shut down because of anything, business owners who live in North Andover aren't going to work, and their lives are impacted. So we're kind of really the Greater Lawrence, we're really intertwined in that way. I think it's going to be steps of normalcy. Today, people are back in their homes. That's normal. You know, there's a good chance tomorrow there'll be school. That's normal. At some point, people are going to go through this process with Columbia Gas to check out what's going on in their house. Is the appliance broken, all that stuff? And they'll get that stuff back together. I don't want to put a time on it because I love to manage expectations, especially in the situation where, you know, somebody, if I say 2 weeks, somebody's going to start the clock. And then in 2 weeks, they're going to say where we're at. And so I'd rather say, hey, you know, everybody's working as hard as they can every day. And if we find out they're not, we put them on the button, and we let everybody know, hey, so and so said they were supposed to be working, 10 hours a day on this thing, and they only really worked on it 2 hours a day. We'll get that. So I think it's going to be some time. I understand, depending on the degrees of things that they have to fix in the ground or in the homes, it's going to be different times for different people.
Right. But still a lot of work ahead. That's the mayor of Lawrence, Dan Rivera. Mayor Rivera, thank you so much for talking to us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you so much.
And WBUR's Callum Borscher is still with us. Callum, in about the sort of 30 seconds or so that we have left, we're just hearing from the mayor there. But from where you sit and from talking to people, what do you sort of see as the big need that lies ahead for the kind of folks you're talking to today?
Well, I think that the mayor hit it when he talked about the patience and the need to, really try and persevere through the next couple of trying days. You know, I'm here at this claim center, and a lot of folks are showing up in line. Keep in mind, the center's open for another 6 hours today. They're still not sure they can get through everybody today, Anthony, and they're already offering tickets to folks saying, hey, if you come back on Wednesday, we'll give you a front-of-the-line cut.
Wow. All right. Well, that's WBUR reporter Callum Borscher's reporting from Lawrence. Callum, as always, thanks so much for your work. Thanks for staying on top of the story. We appreciate it.
Glad to be with you.
Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, with recreational marijuana now legal, how should Massachusetts deal with impaired drivers? That conversation is still ahead. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.